If you'll turn over with me to the book of Deuteronomy, I'd like for you to read with me. Turn over along about the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We'd like to point out the problems of today and the thing that is happening. First of all, I'd like to say this. This is the hour of the day of redemption. Now we sing this song, "The Redemption is Nigh. Look up, for thy redemption is nigh," or near. We say, here. Now, this is the day of redemption. This is the day and the hour of redemption. Now what does that mean to you and I, especially we that are here at Bethlehem? All we that are trying to do something for God abroad as we try to do in our ministry and world evangelism. What does that mean to the churches? It means that you and I must have a message that is different from anything that the others have had. Why? Because we must redeem the body. What must our message be? One thing contrary to sports, because the body is caught in the corruption of sports. And it's about to see corruption. The church is on the verge of God rejecting it because of sports and the infiltration. He is about to reject the entire thing, whereas we know that God's got an elect that he's going to save. But he is on the verge of rejecting the church of God, which has been a great and a mighty church. The UPC, which has been a great and a mighty church. He's on the verge of rejecting the Assemblies of God, which has been a great and a mighty church, and many other churches, Baptists and Methodists and whatever, churches that have been great and mighty and great men like John Wesley and others, they established a good thing, but God is on the verge of rejecting it because it has become corruptible, left the teachings of the early apostolic ways. God is on the verge of rejecting it. He has allowed grace for numbers of years because the church has been ignorant and the church has been children and the church didn't know. But in the latter times, he said that the knowledge of God would fill the heavens, the earth, the seas, even the heavens declare his handiwork, so that we are without excuse. Now then, they are no more children to the extent that they are becoming learned. When they become learned, it is required of them. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is a sin. Coming to the place to where they know to do good, God is going to require it of them. So he's going to reject the whole thing as being corruptible. But the Bible said just before the body saw corruption, he brought it forth. I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell. So then God is sending forth the redemption of the body, which means a message, the saints of God having been worn out by the ritualistics, the practices, the things of today, the instigations of the carnal mind in Lucifer, having been completely worn out, the Bible said they shall suddenly get a new understanding, a new inspiration, and they shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. So then just before the body sees corruption, God is going to pull it out. God's going to pull it in. And they're going to make a confession that they've been wrong. And for God's sake, help me, they'll say. And the sons of God shall marry the church as a man taketh to himself a wife. Now, this is going to happen. The reason is because that which is in the church world is the feminine perspective. And they are without understanding, they and the children. Only to the extent of acknowledging what the head has said do they understand. But we who are they that are raised up with the mind of Christ and with the things of God, we become the masculine part. And we become the headship and we become the sons of God. And we go to the church and we go to the wife and we go to the children to redeem them, to bring them in, to let them know that the shadows of evening are falling, and that the mind of the head has come to redeem them and to correct them and to let them know that they've been in error. Grace, I want to say this before we read, grace is for one reason. That is, as the man alloweth for the wife while she is carrying her child, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Divine concept of heart, God has given us grace. Therefore, having grace, this grace that God has given unto us, God has given unto the church world, God has given it unto us until the maturity and the birth of the child. After that, the restriction of the law of righteousness is required from the heart. And they who cannot perform that are considered lost and not the wife or bride of Christ. The image that is produced is either a bastard child from the whorish woman, which is the world, or the virtuous child, which is the child, even Jesus Christ's image, from the seed of Christ that comes forth from the church, the wife of the Lord. So then God has given grace for one reason, and that is as a man to his wife, so that the child will not be marked. He doesn't want the child to be marked. And you can mark a child if you're not careful. So he gives grace. He doesn't constrain the woman. He doesn't bother the woman. He just lets her go to ball games and lets her be taken into anything because he has given her grace. And he still loves her. He still blesses her. He still heals her. She's still his. But there comes that day that God draws a restriction. The woman gets caught in all kinds of things, but it isn't in her heart to do those things. She's got caught in the web and in the world, and she's become blind because the restriction of the husband is not to a point of constraint. It's by grace that you are saved. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So then God allows that so that you will not mark that Christ Jesus child on the inside, so that you will not mark it with this beastly part. So that the intellectual indoctrination are ways of the beastly part of humanity, the weakness of the woman, that beastly part, so that the beastly part cannot mark the inner child. The woman is taken by the fall. She has become acquainted with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And knowing this, Paul said, I was alive without the law. When the law came, sin revived and I died because the law brought me a knowledge of my shortcomings. So then the woman subjected to the fall, God has not been able to give her the law of restriction, else he would kill her. He couldn't do that. He waits until the child is born. And then comes the Jewish powers back in, even as Begin come to California. See, then that thing of the woman is over. That's what I was speaking of concerning the death. See, then the thing is over and then the law of restriction comes. There's nothing but the male perspective. The law of restriction comes and Israel becomes the head of the nation. The man comes back into control. And with this, the child has not been marked because it's already born and the woman isn't carrying it. It is apart from the woman. It is not related to the woman at all. It is separate altogether. The child will be such a ruler, such a power that even mother and daddy would bow down to it. Even mother and daddy must do obeisance unto it. The thing concerning Joseph and his dream, the outstanding thing was that even the father and the mother done obeisance unto Joseph. And so it came to pass that when Joseph was down in Egypt, raised up as a great and mighty ruler, even daddy and mother had to do obeisance unto Joseph. So then you see what a great and a mighty thing God is doing. That means it is time for the redemption of the body. And that means that you and I as individuals have a responsibility of a world revival, not to the people of the world. God's already given them a revival. But a revival to the church to redeem the body with a message that will translate them into the marvelous kingdom of God and bring them out of the powers of darkness. God said, Paul, I've given you a revelation. I've shown you a great light. I've showed you that this great light has blinded you. That the church world is blind. They're in darkness. You go down to the street called Straight and get these scales off of your eyes. And when these scales of intellectual reasoning is passed from you, he said, and you turn away from human brilliance and you turn to God and you get on the street called straight, I want you to go back and turn my people from darkness unto light. And I want you to rend that glass darkly, that veil. I want you to do away with those scales, and I want you to bring them to where they can see and be the church that I want them to be. Okay, now, let's just look at this just for a few minutes. Read just a little bit, and we'll try not to keep you long, just exalt you a little. Now, I want to read something. Chapter 27 of the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to listen real close now. This is needful. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Now, did you notice that the emphasis there is placed on all? Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead you into all righteousness. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, and an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth a light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And let me tell you, this goes back to deceiving the people religiously. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And as I said earlier, this goes back to misleading those that are blind as a blind leader. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Now, I want you to notice that in this 27th chapter, that God speaks of all of the curses. saying, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You are to choose. You are the one that's to choose. He says right here that you cannot smite your neighbor secretly. That is to do an undermining thing and to pull a deal, to backbite, to pull a cunning little thing, to get back at your neighbor. He said, you better not do that. If you do that secretly, I'll bring it out openly. He points out many things that we could enlarge upon, and maybe one of these days we will take them one by one and enlarge upon them. But the thing that I want to get over to you is that it is a curse. God said, you do any of these things, and you are cursed with a curse. I've cursed your blessings, Israel, he tells them many years later, because you did not do what I told you. In Deuteronomy, I told you I'd make you the head if you would honor me, and you didn't do that. Now then, here in Malachi, I tell you that you're cursed with a curse. Because you did not honor me, your blessings are cursed. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy womb, the Bible says. Your children are cursed. Your children are cursed. All right, now listen. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, notice the blessing, and notice the curse. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flock of thy sheep. Blessed shall thou be, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods and the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do them. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And I want to read the curses. Now, notice in the 27th chapter, he tells what the commandments are. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he tells the blessing and the curse that comes upon you and me or whoever if we do not keep these commandments. Now, listen to the curse. He has already said that I'll take blackleg away from the cattle. He's already said that I'll multiply them and it won't be just a few. There'll be plenty for everyone. He's already said I'll give you your health. I'll bless the fruit of the womb. They won't have paralysis and be freaks, and the little children won't be all deformed. I'll bless them. He's already said, I'll take sickness from out from the midst of you. I'll move all of this away. He's already said that I'll bless the fields and the storehouses, and mildew and whatever won't get it, and pestilence won't get it. I will bless you. He said, you'll be a blessed people. You'll be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out. He said, but if you don't do what I'm telling you, and you go contrary to my desire, and you go contrary to my way. I want to read this because this is the answer to the hippie generation and the drunks and all the children being thrown in the jail and the prostitutes, daughters, whatever. Now listen, but it shall come to pass. Now folks, don't think that God makes mistakes and God says things that won't happen. Don't think that God just talks to just be going on, as somebody says. Don't ever think that God said something and it isn't going to happen the way he said. If it takes a year, if it takes 10 years, if it takes a lifetime, God is going to make it come to pass, not in a different way. You know, the people of today, the church has got the idea. They say, well, I know that God said all of these things, and I know that the preacher's telling me the truth. But you know, God understands that we're weaklings, and God understands we've got to have recreation, and God understands all of these things, and he's easy on us, and he's just going to take it easy with us and work with us, you know, and he's just going to take us on into heaven. But I told you my God was giving you grace. He's going to draw a line of restriction and sever the just from among the unjust. Now watch and see. Just as he's kept his word concerning grace, he's going to keep his word concerning judgment. He said, I save my people by judgment. Though he received the judgment upon himself at Calvary to the extent to give you a chance, yet there's going to be judgment upon them that don't receive what he received for them. All right, now, so then we do know that God will keep his word. We do know that it's coming to pass. The prophet said it many years later when Israel thought, well, it isn't going to happen. All of a sudden it happened. And they say, this is the words of Jeremiah. This is the words of the prophet. I remember the words of the prophet. 70 years shall thou be in Babylon. I remember the words of the false prophet when he said, nay, it won't happen to you. But I remember that that prophet is dead, and the words of the prophet came to pass. We're in Babylon. All right, so then as Daniel set his face to God to find out what was going on, to be able to help the people get out of Babylon, so it is to you and I today. We've got to help the people get out of the mess. God kept his word. Now listen, and it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Listen now. See if you're familiar with any of these happenings. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. When we say cursed in the city, I say this again. If the big skyscrapers tumbling from tornadoes, fires, whatever, people being destroyed, hundreds and thousands of people, wrecks in the city, people being mutilated, cut, torn to pieces in the city, can't even walk down the streets of New York or Atlanta, Georgia, it's not safe. Cursed shall thou be in the city. That is, I'll let devils and demons fill the city. I saw a vision years ago where the city was so filled with darkness that it was just everybody had pulled away from the city. It was so vacant in the big cities. Everything was so without inhabitants that the children were skating up and down the streets on skates. They were skating in the middle of the streets. There was such little traffic. And in the vision, the horribleness was that devils and demons had driven the people away. And the children were actually skating up and down the street. Just a few people and the children using it for a playground. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, the rottenness, the death, the problems. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the little children. And the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You know, when a person comes in, the Bible says the bed's not long enough for him. He can't rest. He lays down on the bed. The bed isn't long enough. He can't rest. He rolls. He tumbles. He can't rest. His belly is eaten up with cancer, or with ulcers, or his nerves are wrecked. The oppression is driving him crazy. He's cursed when he comes in with cursing vexations. And God goes on to say, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing vexation. vexed all the time now, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. No matter what you go to do, buy your new car, build your home, whatever, you've got to wrestle with the police, you've got to wrestle with the taxes, you've got to wrestle with the authorities, you've got to wrestle with your neighbor, you've got to fight with your children. Everything goes bad. Your house, something happens to it, you've got to worry about it being burned up, storm knocking it down. It's just horrible. People are not living anymore. They're just existing. Life is not life anymore. It's death. It's a nightmare. It's a hideous nightmare. It's a horrible thing. People can't marry and be happy anymore because the man's afraid the woman's going to go bad and the woman's afraid the man's going to go bad. And as a consequence of that, they do, just about every one of them. You can't have any happiness because your children, you're afraid that tomorrow you're going to get word like the Sexton girl did just the other day that automobile or truck had crushed her little one at about 10 years old, took its life. You're so afraid, see, that you're going to get a report any time that your son, daughter, loved ones are going to be killed, or some disease is going to strike your little baby, or something's going to happen. You know, insanity, vexation, problems, war, taking them off to the army, whatever. It's just a continuation of problems and vexation. What is it? It's because we know that we're not believing in the mercies of God to have God's protection. We're afraid another nation will come upon us and take our nation because our courage fails. We don't believe. The reason we don't believe, because we know we're ungodly. We know that we're not living right. Paul said, I say me to keep from saying you, to whom I speak, that are doing those things. See, the thing is, we know that we haven't done right. We know that we haven't lived right. We know that we haven't gone the right way. We know that. Therefore, how can we believe? Faith is dead without works. How can we? Our faith doesn't have any stimulation. See, how can we believe? He said, I will send upon thee cursing, vexations, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings. That's the answer, wickedness of thy doings. The child is known by his doings. Whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off of the land whither thou goest to possess it. I say that sports is wrong because you forsake God in doing those things. He said, you forsake my ways to do your own ways. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. Do you know anybody that has that problem? And with a fever. And with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, just the way the captivity was with our men not too long ago. Thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. You know, not too long ago when our people were in captivity, and when people began to pray, I saw God do something. And Reagan, being a religious man, God was able to work through him. Whereas he was able to work through Jimmy to start with, until Jimmy got into the idea that he could have abortion and do the evil things of God and have rock and roll up there in the White House, and God had to put him out. And God had to get somebody else in there so he could do it. Reagan didn't have nothing to do with that. Not one thing. Now, he says here, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. He says, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. You know, speaking to the prisoners, I told them, I said, you watch. I said, he will release those prisoners when he definitely knows that Jimmy Carter won't be president. I said, he'll release them. Because he hath no argument against Reagan. He's wanting revenge on Jimmy, and he wants to show Jimmy that Jimmy will never make him take a bow. And I suggest as quick as he finds out, he'll do it. And he done it. Okay, now, listen to this. It says, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. And I want you to listen, folks. It didn't say the devil would smite you with the botch. It didn't say the devil will smite you with the itch. It didn't say that the devil will smite you with emrods. It said the Lord will smite you. Are you listening? The Bible said the Lord is the one that wounds. The Lord is the one that binds up. The Lord is the one that pours in the oil and the wine. Can evil come to a city, a church, whatever? Can it come to a people? And I'm not the one that sent it, saith the Lord. Don't you know that I sent that evil that come upon Egypt? And don't you know that I turned Egypt into a rubbish pile? I'm the one that did it, the Lord said. I'm the one that made the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm the one that created Lucifer. I'm the one that created Adam. I'm the one that created the tree of life. I'm the one. So he said, I, the Lord, shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. That also means spiritual fowls, which are devils and demons. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. The Bible said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins shall prosper. A lot of you don't prosper because you cover up your sins. And you appear to be a real fine person among us. A real fine person. But you cover your sins and you don't prosper. And you know what it is. It's the rottenness that's in your life. You know that. You know that's what's causing it. And you know that if you'd confess it and get away from it, trouble would leave your home. Shall not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed. People that are always oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Neither Brother Pike, neither Billy Graham, neither Oral Roberts, neither Jimmy Swaggart, neither Brother Terrell, neither anybody. Nobody's going to save you. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You might think you've got a good wife. You might think she is the cream of the crop. But God said it, and someday you're going to find it out. She may have it hid from you, but you're going to find it out that she's been a prostitute all the time. Somebody says, I don't believe it. Well, wait till you find it out. I've told some people this. I said, God has already showed me some things. I'd tell another person to keep from breaking up a home. I said, the man's wife is a prostitute. And I said, though she is the finest woman in the community, religious, fasting, whatever, she's got a devil of lust. And I said, someday they'll find it out. And I said, the man has got the same thing. I've done this on number or numerous occasions. It happens. You may think that your husband is just so-so. And you may think that your wife is just so-so, but you're going to find out what's in her heart someday. All things that are hid is going to come to the surface. You're going to find out she had her mind on another man all the time. And you wasn't the apple of her eye. And you're going to find out that your husband had his mind on somebody else all the time and you wasn't the apple of his eye. You're going to find it out someday. Thou shalt betroth the wife and another man shall lie with her. And thou shalt build a house and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard and shall not gather the grapes thereof. That is, they'll take it away from you for taxes or whatever. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall the nations which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore, a botch, that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Now remember, all these things are also spiritual. Every natural thing I'm reading to you has a spiritual significance. It is a proverb. God speaks in proverbs. The seed, not much to be brought in, though you carried much out. See, no revival, nothing coming in. He said, you are an astonishment upon the people. They don't have any confidence in you. The worms eating up everything that you put out. God said, thou worm Jacob, I will help thee. The worms consuming it. Just like the ball games. I love to go back to that thought. The ball game, that's a bunch of worms. That is a bunch of worms that's devouring every godly thing that the church has. The worms. God said, if you're not a Christian, you're a worm. See, you are a worm, just like the butterfly when it goes through its stages of metamorphosis, the change. It comes into its stage of metamorphosis to change into the heavenly butterfly. But before that, it is a worm. A person that is not godly, that has the love of the world in them, that is worms. Those people are worms. Jesus called them dogs and he called them swines. He said, you can wash that old sow and she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. Said you can get that dog away from his vomit, he'll go back and lap the very same thing all over again. And the worm, he said, thou worm Jacob. See, you've been deceitful, Jacob. You've been a worm. Stole the birthright, all the many things that you did, Jacob, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to put you through the stages of metamorphosis and bring you out as a beautiful butterfly, as we say. So then, he said, the worms will devour it. Today, the intellectual mind of the worms, the bread has gotten wormy. Though it was heavenly bread, trying to hold it over, make a doctrine out of it, not going on to the new every day and getting revelation and getting inspiration and not going on to do the things of God, but trying to hold some doctrine that John Wesley set back here, not adding line upon line and precept upon precept and moving with the Spirit on to the great perfection of the enlightenment of our day. Trying to do that, you've got your own intellectual ideas and theories. You've instigated ball games and everything else, and you've got the bread wormy, and your doctrine has become worthless, and you've perverted the Word of God. And the Bible said that you've actually taken the Word of God that He gave John Wesley and the other great men, and you have changed it into a lie and made it to say that ball games is all right and all of these evil things that the scribes have inserted. He said, you've done this thing and perverted until the worms is corrupting the body of Almighty God to that extent. He said, and the worms will come in, and he said, all that you should have. He said, there won't be any all. Even at the midnight cry, there won't be any for your lamp. There won't be any all. You won't anoint yourself with all. That is, there won't be any shouting and praising and singing of God in the pouring out of the anointing and the Spirit that is real. In your vineyards, there won't be any. Though it is a spiritual vineyard I've given you, you haven't given me any fruit of it. And he said, you won't anoint yourself with the all, but there will be a people whose cup will run over. You won't do this, he said, because you have been carnally minded, and to be carnally minded is death. He said, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruits of thy land shall the locusts consume, that is, the devils and the demons. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. That's true with the world of today. Wiser in their generation than the children of light, they're the ones that's prospering, taking advantage of their grace, while we're the ones that's getting the chastisement. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. Isn't that right? When the church wants something, what do? They go to the world. They go to the bank. They have to go out to the world to get it. Why do they do that? They have to. Somebody said, well, you know, that's understood. It wasn't understood when God took Israel out of Egypt. He made them give their gold and their silver and all the rest. Israel had plenty of gold and silver. They had all they needed, even enough to make a golden calf out of. They had plenty of it. So he says here, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He said he'll get up very high, and you'll come down very low. He'll lend to you, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And let me tell you something, folks. The joy of the Lord being our strength, there is no way that you can have the joy of the Lord and have the strength of God when you do the things of the world. You're going to have a dread. Having the knowledge of God, you're going to have a dread. You're going to hide yourself. You're going to say, Lord, we're ashamed. Where art thou, Adam and Eve? We hid ourselves because we know that we've done contrary to what you told us to do. And we know your wrath is coming. See, he said, you've lost the joy of the Lord. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemy, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. Spiritually speaking, the church is starving to death. Confessing themselves to be rich, the Bible says that they are naked, they're wretched, and they're blind. But they think they have everything with their great cathedrals and ball games. And in want of all things, and he shall have put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flock of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall beseech thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. Whereas this came to pass, you've read it in the days of Elijah and Elisha, how that they eat the fruit of their own children. The flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, and they're also doing that in their hunger and thirst, as I often say, for the worldliness and the worldly entertainment, they're giving their children to the devil, to ball games and to a glass of wine and to frolic and stage shows and everything else. The devils are actually devouring them, or that is the people with their gullible appetite for the world are actually eating up their own children. Okay, it says, the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son and toward her daughter, and toward her young ones that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitneth wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. A lot of times this is the reason why a woman is barren. She's consumed her children through her lust. She's consumed her children a lot of times. They're born freaks. They're born with all kinds of things because of her foolishness, her lust, dope, worldliness, and fears and frustration and anxieties that affect her body and affect her child. She's literally eating her child up until they put it in a grave when it comes or in a mental institution because of her evil, wretched desires. It says, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitneth, wherewith thine enemies, that is the oppression of the devil, shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness. That's why a lot of times you have a disease that won't heal. It's a long continued thing, and sore sickness, and of long continuance, he said. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And I want you to listen to this. Also, every sickness and every plague, that is what we have today, everything that we have today in America and around the world, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed, and he shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off of the land whither thou goest to possess it. Scattered among all nations, he says. You see, now in this I'm not going to elaborate much on it. Maybe tonight, if the Lord's will, nothing happens, we might try to speak a little bit more concerning the revelational side of it. But I wanted to read just God's word so that you'll know that it's not Brother Pike's thoughts, it's not Brother Pike's words, it's not Brother Pike's ideas, it's not something I've said, it's not rules and regulations of Bethlehem that I've imposed upon you. I've told you God's word. Now I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You can choose good or evil. You can choose what you want to do. You can go your way. You can say, well, it's all right, or it isn't all right, or I accept it, or I don't accept it. And you can do whatever you want to do. But folks, I'm a witness for the Son of God. I was sent into the world to bear witness of the truth. I have no happiness and peace unless I do that. Day or night, I can't rest unless I do that. And I tell you this one thing in bearing witness of the truth as a mouthpiece of Christ. I tell you this one thing. And that is, these things will come to pass. Just as sure as you're breathing your breath, these things will come upon you, and they will look upon you, and the people will look upon you, and they'll say, Brother Pike made that statement. I know he made that statement. I sat in his congregation, and I didn't believe that it could happen. People say that is to them. But nevertheless, it'll come to pass. They'll see it happen. And they'll have the broken heart, and they'll have the broken home, and they'll have the tears, and they'll have the woes, and they'll have the sorrows. It will happen to them. Because Jesus said it will happen. It will happen. You'll be sick and nigh unto death. Sick and nigh unto death. And your sickness, the doctor, he said, well, I'll go to the hospital. The Bible said in that day there won't be any healing medicines. If they cut on you, it'll just get worse. And God will say, no, you're not going to run over here to the hospital. The days of taking shots and the days of easing the pain is over, folks. The days of grace is being put behind you. People are getting to where the shots don't do them any good. The operations make the things worse. Doctors is confused, saying, I don't know what to do. And if you do go to a doctor, he may give you a prescription that'll kill you. Can't even trust him anymore. Somebody said, well, I'll still trust him. Well, you go ahead and do it. The Bible said, cursed is the man or the woman that goeth down to Egypt for their help, that leans on the arm of intelligence and on the arm of flesh. You go ahead and do that. Cursed is the man that leans upon his arm, the arm of his ability, his skill, his talent, to do what he wants to make his own living. The Bible said he's cursed with a curse. Not only that, but every blessing he gets, it'll be cursed. God said, I've cursed your blessings already. Let me say this in closing. There was a man that was smitten in his foot. The Bible said he was a good man, a fine man, an upright man that was trying to do the right thing. But he was smitten in his foot. The Bible said because he did not seek the Lord to find out why he was smitten in his foot, he died. He sought the physicians. The Bible said had he gone to God, he would have been all right. But because he sought the physicians rather than God, he died. Now you think about that, folks. It said because he sought to go to the doctor and say, well, you're the doctor. This is the hospital. You know how to do it. God got upset and said, you're going to die. Said, you should have went to the church. You should have went to the pastor. You should have come to me. You should have talked to me and found out what caused this thing. I'm not against any help that you can get. But I tell you something, the first thing you better do is inquire of God. The first thing you better do is find out what caused that. And when you find out what caused that, the doctors can help you, or others can help you, or medicine can help you. But if you don't find out what caused that and put that thing behind you, ain't nothing can help you. You can go to whoever you want to. I never will forget when my little girl had the problem that she had. And I stood there waiting for the doctors to do something. I thought, well, you're supposed to do something. They said, I'm sorry, Mr. Pike, or Reverend Pike. Said, I'm sorry. Said, we can't do nothing. Said, we can't even find out what's causing it. I said, well, there's one thing about it. I am a Christian. I believe in God. And I said, there's somebody that can do something about it. And that is God. And I'm going to call and contact the saints of God. And they're going to pray and God's going to do something about it. And I did just exactly that. And in a little while, it wasn't but a short while after all of the research that they'd done. And they had numbers of doctors, multiplied doctors of the finest kind at the finest hospital. The best hospital for children probably in the nation of the world. They come back after the saints prayed and they said, you know what? Said, we found out something. I said, you have? They said, we have found out something. We have found out what it is and we can do something for it. We're going to work and do what we can. The same thing that killed the little Kennedy baby. They couldn't do anything for it. But did you know they'd done something for mine? And mine is healthy and whole today. God did something about it. And on many occasions where we never visited a hospital, frequented a hospital, took medicine or whatever, God miraculously worked great miracles and wonders in our own little family and healed them and saved them from things that bad or worse. God did it. But we were fortunate at that time, I think, to give a testimony in that when that happened to my child, we were able to go through that hospital and pray for numbers of people. That took courage, and I went back, and God knows whether I tell the truth or lie. I went back in the following day, and room after room was empty. Horrible, hideous things that we slipped in, we prayed for the people. You say, were they healed? Well, the Lord knows whether they were or not. At least, many of them had taken it to heart. They had gone home. Things had happened. They had been released from the hospital. So it does prove that God does things. Numbers of times in the hospitals we went to visit and prayed for them, even when the man was crushed in the garbage mixer, even when the little boy was bound and in such a horrible, hideous thing, to go back and find out that God had healed and that they've come here to give testimonies of the wonderful, miraculous things of God. God promised to move disease out from among us. As I said at the first of the service this morning, I'm thankful to be healthy, to be whole, to be strong. I have problems and afflictions. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But did you know the Bible said God delivereth him out of them all? I have never had one that God has not delivered me from. Not one. You say, and in what way? Even without doctors and without medical aid. For as a rule, I don't go to them at all. Other people have to be subjected to those things. God delivers me by faith. You love the Lord? You know why? Because I believe in the blessing. And if I feel at any time, in any way, that I'm contrary to God or displeasing God, or if I've done any little thing, and even to the intents of my heart, or a thought that is uncharitable or unlike Christ, immediately I go to the defense of the gospel. Cast down the imagination. I bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Even to the intent and impulse of my body, I want it to sing praises to God. All right, I want you to stand with me. Appreciate your kind attention. I trust this morning that this just wasn't another service, that you come to the house of the Lord and it wasn't just another service, that you got something that will benefit you and yours the rest of the days of your life. You know, the Lord said on one occasion, he said, I would that my people honor me. I would that they would draw nigh to me. I would that they would do right. I would that they would do these things, he said, for this reason. He said, I would that they would do it so that it would be well with them all the days of their life and well with their children all the days of their life. I would that they would do this so it would be well with them and their children all the days of their life. Folks, to me it's worthwhile. It may not be worthwhile to you, and many that hear my voice, it may not be worthwhile to them, but it's worthwhile to me to forsake my desire and my way of life, to conform to His image and His desire, to have the peace, the blessing, the prosperity, the promise of eternal security, and to have the healing, the comforts and convenience for me and my family and my loved ones that He promised. It's worthwhile to me to turn away from all that I have. It's good to see you here this morning. It's good to know that you're here. Some of you come from different places, different times. Some of you live off, away from here, but you still love the Lord in Bethlehem. And of the word Bethlehem, the house of bread, the city of David, a man after God's own heart, truthfully Christ was, being the seed of David. We're glad to have you here. I see Denny standing back up there. He hasn't been here in quite a long time. We're glad to have Denny with us and others that have come to be with us, whoever. We're so glad to have you. We appreciate you. I see Brother Cantrell's daughter here with us this morning. She hasn't been in a long time. She's part of our spiritual family here, and we're certainly glad to have her back home. Also, we're glad to have those that come to visit, whoever and whenever. The sister back here that's come with our sisters from Crawford. We're glad to have the sister come from the heirs of Crawford. They're our sisters in Christ. They're part of our Bethlehem family, part of the God family. And many of these people are our children in the Lord. We're very grateful to have them. Paul said, I've begotten you in Christ. And many of them are growing in a great way in the things of God. I'm glad to have Gerald. He's been, I don't know whether I've been off for a while or he's been off for a while. He used to say he's been off for a while, but I asked him this morning, I said, where have you been? He said, where have you been? So I kind of had to back off a little bit because I have been gone off for a good little bit. But we love Gerald and appreciate Gerald. Let's just close our eyes, lift our hands to heaven, and let's worship Jesus for just a few minutes. Holy Father of heaven, I'm so grateful. Dear God, that you would even consider me, Lord, to the extent to let me continue to breathe or be alive. Oh, Lord, to let me stand in your presence. And I ask you your forgiveness for my unworthy existence, oh God. I ask you to help me because of you and your greatness. And I ask you to bless me, oh dear God, that my existence and my way of life might be in Christ. And in His love, that it might be acceptable, that I can rejoice, O Holy Father, over the righteousness of God in my life, knowing that there's none good but God. I'm dependent altogether, beloved Father, upon Thee and the righteousness of Your holy child, Jesus. Consider me, Father, and likewise consider my children in Christ. Consider Your flock and Your people, people throughout the world. Open the field of world evangelism to us. Keep us holy and godly in body and spirit, soul, for your sake, Father. Help us, Lord God of heaven. Don't let us sin against you. David of old, Father, said his word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hid your word in my heart, Father. May I never sin against you. Help me that the seed may remain within me that I might not sin against God. Oh, Lord, be with me. Bless my people. Help my people, forgive my people of their sins and of their wrongs. Keep them holy, as the man in Israel said. Godly and holy, may they be worthy of that statement, Father, in the sense that they give all of their life without reservation of heart unto Thee. I ask you to bless our sister C. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you prepared a heart to come down and visit with us, Father. Someone, Lord God, who is responsible for our ministry today, that took us into her home, Father, in a struggling moment of time. And, oh, God, hid us from the ice and the snow, Lord, in the time when we could not do anything. Lord God, and encouraged us, and Father gave offerings and help, sending it out on the field to us, Father, when she had a mega fair, and yet shared it with us. May she richly be blessed. Dear God, may her cup run over. May you return it in 100-fold. And may she be blessed. It is a blessing to us, Father, that she would be with us today, I ask in the lovely name of your child Jesus, bless me, bless my people, bless these darling, wonderful people, Father. Though they make mistakes, though they err, though they stumble, Father, they're considered the best in the land. People have said that, Jesus, and I believe it. God, not because of me as a tutor, but because of you in their heart, having accepted you on the scale of living that they have accepted you on. May they be blessed. Know that there's a lot of good people in the world, Father. May they be blessed. They're our brothers and sisters. Bless them, O God. Bless the churches. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together and then we'll be dismissed. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest did may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing that one more time, can you? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads together. God is good to us. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. The very best thing. Nothing has never happened to me like Jesus. Never before. I'm going to ask Brother Lynn Lundeboe to come and dismiss us. While Lynn is coming, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. Now's a good time to examine yourselves. See if you really have a hunger for God. See if your interest is in God. See if you want to meditate in His laws day and night. See if you want to go to the house of God. Be part of the children of God. Be devout in His way and be constantly engaged in His work. Folks, ask yourself the question, is that my kind of thinking? Or am I more thrilled over eating and drinking, going and riding and fellowship and talking and visiting, staying out of church, going to the fields of entertainment? Which am I more interested in, Father? Where is my hunger? What is my delight? What gives me joy in doing the things of the world and excelling in the world and making money? Or is my joy and jubilance in Jesus? And am I doing all the things on the side for His sake that are honorable in His sight? Think it over this morning, our brother comes.